League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the book. Still 2 hours to go. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Been having some fun in the first hour. We can get down to some sports, too, but this is one of those days. It's been between games.
Slow sports week.
Stros got another win last night, though.
They did?
Yep. Six in a row now. Bats are still lively. What, three more home runs last night?
Yep.
So, and they're putting up, Peacock settled down. Played, pitched pretty well.
Did you see the ERA of the starter tonight?
No.
10 something.
For the Tigers?
Yeah.
I saw Jake Asman tweet, why don't the Tigers just forfeit the next two?
It could get ugly if your ERA coming in is 10.
I worry about Verlander in Detroit. Last time when he was red hot when he went into Detroit, he got beat up a little bit. He's going to be emotional.
It's one game.
I know. And it's the Tigers.
Yeah.
Boy, but how about Springer with the catch last night? A couple of them.
Yep. To start and end the game.
Yeah. Yep. Play. I mean, overall, it's hard to bitch about a whole lot with the Houston Astros right now.
Yeah. It's funny. People nitpicking. It's like, come on, man. What do you want? Didn't they just take over, like, so they're the best record in baseball after last night or something like that?
After they're all tied going into last night?
Yeah. Why are people, hey, do you guys, what do you think we should go get at the trade deadline? A life. Why are you talking about the trade deadline right now? They're the best team in baseball. What are you worried about?
And with the fact that you got up, brought up a guy from your farm system that pitched his ass off the other night, you don't have to look outside your franchise and all of your minor league system right now, because it seems like, and by the way, that guy, Corbin Martin, was not named Forrest Whitley.
Yeah. So there's, wasn't even and, your and, best guy. Or Bukowskis. Supposedly.
There are guys down there that are still chomping at the bit to get a chance at that rotation that may be better than what else is out there based on what you might have to pay and give up to get a guy.
Yep.
So that's always encouraging. I thought it was funny. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, though. On MLB Network, the D-Train, Dontrell Willis.
Oh-ho!
Is now one of their talents on air, analysts. Yeah. And they asked him how he would pitch to the Astros lineup, and it was pretty good.
How do you pitch to them?
Well, first, a lot of prayer before I go out there and warm up. But the first thing I want to establish is being aggressive with the fastball down in the zone. They want to make contact early in the count, and they want to use launch angle to get the ball in the air. So I want to throw sinkers to get those guys to hit the ball hard on the ground early in the count. It saves my pitch count. Hopefully, I can get some early outs, and hopefully, I can not show my slider or my breaking ball the first time around in the lineup. Minimally. So that's the key. Be aggressive, stay down, move their feet, make them uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a ball in because the way they're swinging the bat, they feel comfortable, they feel aggressive. And EK will tell you, when you don't fear that guy on the mound, you take some hacks out there, and that's what you're seeing from this lineup today.
They're the best in the league against fastballs and breaking balls. That's pretty good. That's a pretty tough combination.
That's a pretty good stat.
That's pretty scary. Yeah.
And you know what? He's right. First of all, by the way, Dontrell says comfortable just like Raheel. Because whenever Raheel cranks the show, all you got to do is say if he says uncomfortable or comfortable. He doesn't.
He can't say
he doesn't
it.
Have. There's no R in it. It's comfortable and uncomfortable.
I like it.
But, I mean, look, take it from an ex-pitcher. When you look at that lineup, they're free-stroking right now. They feel good. They are, dialed in. Lisa was like screaming last night. She goes, they went after Springer's head. I was like, well, dude's been on fire. I don't think they, if they said that they hit him. She goes, no, I go, they're sending a message because he's been beating up pitching across the league right now.
He really has.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Slugging 507, best in baseball by far. 495 with the Twins is second. And, pretty much all facets of the game. Astros are doing
well. They really
well.
Are.
Fourth in ERA. I mean, you can talk about the hitting all you want, but this team is fourth in ERA. And, yeah, still first in batting average allowed at 206. So they got it. That's why they have the best record in baseball. I mean, here's what sucks. It's great. As an Astros fan, I'm super excited that they're the best team in baseball with the best record right now and all that. As a sports talk guy, kind of sucks because there's really not much for us to talk about.
Well, but I think you got series coming up against the Red Sox and some opponents where people are going to really start paying more attention to that.
Yeah, but I mean, what are you going to spend? You're not going to spend segments upon segments breaking down the Astros and game by game.
It depends when it's on all how they going do against well. Good teams. You're right. I see what you're saying. But at the same time, that gets that whole kind of argument and narrative that I think Charlie was talking about it too with the Rockets. Where are you happy where you win the division every year, you make the playoffs every year, you make a run, but you can't get over the hump? Because at the end of the day, when I look at that, it's a hell of a lot better than being like the Sacramento Kings and wallowing in mediocrity and worse for, you know, decades. I think that sometimes, you know, we get a little spoiled because we're covering sports teams that are pretty damn successful, even with the Texans. For the most part, okay, they're not great, but they, you know, 9-7 is good for a division win and get in the playoffs.
I mean, you're going to give – that's a –
But obviously, you have more to criticize with the Texans.
Would you label the Texans successful?
No. Oh, boy, I tell you what, Vegas and everybody else does every year because they've done it again.
What?
Projected like the Texans to be a top 10 win team and
really?
All these other things. And So a little less with the Texans, but more so Rockets, Astros.
But what I'm
Astros.
Saying is when the Astros are going well, there's really not a lot to bitch about. That's the weirdness about baseball. Is unless you're going to expand the discussion to cover the entire league and talk about all of the different things that are going on in baseball, to really just focus in on the Astros right now, as it's almost like there needs to be some struggle. When they were losing 100 games, no one wants to talk about them. And when they're winning 100 and something games, you don't like what are you going to pick apart? What are you going to complain about Chris Devinsky's changeup?
I'm just
like
I'm,
you're. I mean, you are scraping the bottom of the sports talk barrel if you're going to pick apart a team.
It's better to have a team that's like winning, like and playing and rolling through people like they are, than a team that's getting blitzed.
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm totally agreeing with that. It's awesome, but not from a sports talk perspective. Because what again? Are we going to sit here and break down Chris Devinsky for two segments? No. So I wish there was a little struggle.
Well, but you're right. I see what you're
just
saying.
Just from a selfish sports talk perspective.
The other thing is,
as
we
a
always
fan, I'm super happy.
But we're always going to have the fans that are going to nitpick.
Yeah,
because
don't call here.
We get those calls, and you know, people are going to start pointing fingers. And by the way, SportsCenter, if Robinson Chirinos continues to hit home runs and be a big part of this Astros team, don't call him Chirinos anymore.
Who?
The SportsCenter anchor last night. They were doing the highlights of the Astros game and said Robinson Chirinos hit a home
Sounds
run.
Sounds like a cereal.
That's somebody. Yeah. That's somebody just reading. I'm the
prompter.
Now
I get it now though. Now that once a week I go and read a prompter, I'm like, I see how that happens.
But in the past,
because you don't prep, like I try to like rehearse what I'm going to do at least 5 or 6 times. I have that luxury. Like Lisa doesn't. It's it's like this is the news. You read what's on the prompter.
She gets maybe one once through.
Oh, really?
Of it.
Now, do they give her pronunciation for names?
They have to ask for it. She'll call me numerous times throughout shows, going especially a sports question or a name. She'll go, "How do I pronounce so and so's name?" Or I'm trying to remember what the last one was. Oh, James Harden's mom, because it looks like it should be Manja, and it's Manya.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. She'll call me and go, "Babe, real quick, how do you say James's mom's first name?"
Okay,
it's Manya.
But see, I would think that the TV would have.
It would spell it phonetically if it's, but the thing is, they do spell it phonetically.
But some people freezes them on a teleprompter when they don't see it like a full name and they see like MONYEAH, Manya.
That's yeah.
Okay, Manya.
YA.
MON-YA. Okay, fine. However you want to do it, technically. Potato, potato.
This
but
is
I'm
why
just
they
saying.
Don't. Because then you'd be like, Monye? Nope. That wasn't.
That's why Dontrell sounds like this.
Them uncomfortables.
Uncomfortable.
But here's the thing. SportsCenter forever in a day. And when you, I read that freaking Webster's dictionary sized book on the history of ESPN and all that. And they were talking about one of the things they were big sticklers on always is you had, whether it's hockey, soccer, whatever, get the pronunciations right.
Yeah.
And you could tell a lot of times when one of the anchors knew that one of those names was coming up, there was a lot of hesitation because they weren't supposed to screw it up. Now, it's just basically because they keep rolling through talent, too. They just let these people go out there, and if they mispronounce, then someone's going to correct them, and maybe next time they get it better.
I mean, even here, we try to do our due diligence at a break, or if we know we're going to be talking about something next, we'll go to YouTube and try to find the pronunciation.
You guys do that whole thing where you click on it, and they...
You can actually, for baseball, like on, you can go to Baseball Reference. It's really cool. You can actually click on a person. They'll give you pronunciation of their name if there's any issues. Like Aledmus Diaz or Aledmus Diaz, because I always screw that one up. But there's, yeah, they'll give you the pronunciations. I like that. There needs to be more of that available to us.
Just like when we got back, remember we were talking about Stephen A. Smith and why there has to be a producer there or someone that's in his ear or pointing out real quickly that's not the guy's name or that guy is not the guy you're talking about because he's on the injured list. That's the same thing. I think ESPN, because they made all these bad deals across the board that they're trying to get out of and change, and in the process of changing, they're not paying enough attention to the small details that are important to the viewer.
Right.
But, you know, as an Astros fan, that's just going to piss you off.
I pulled up Diaz's pronunciation. This is what how it's spelled. A-D-L-E-D-M-E-E-Z. Aledmus. And no one says it like that.
Because I was going to say when you said the Aledmus two options. Aledmus
Diaz.
Last night they were called, some people were calling him Aledmus.
Yeah. But the pronunciation is A-D-L-E-D, and it's spelled A-L-E-D. So a lot of people will say Aledmus or Aledmus, but it's Aledmus. Always gets screwed up. Poor guy.
Now, just say the Greek freak real quick. Because that's the other one.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, shit. You want me to look it up?
No. Well, you can, sure. Because the thing is, a lot of people put the P on the end, but it's supposed to be a B. Reggie Miller was talking about it the other day. But Charlie, I was listening to him talk about the series coming up, and you really emphasized the T's, which you're not supposed to do.
Really?
Charlie was doing the Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo.
All right. I'm pulling it up now.
I can go to their PR guy and text me. Give me the pronunciation for Giannis's last name.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm. I told you, with a B, not a P.
A-H-D-E-H-T-O-H. So that's Adeto. Mm-hmm. Antetokounmpo.
I knew.
Loop him in there. But B-O-H at the end. Yeah.
Yep.
Antetokounmpo. Okay, yeah, I got to practice that. A lot of people do
the P and the T.
Yeah.
And it's Antetokounmpo.
Okay. No D's. No T's and P's. D's and B's.
Good news is it's still Kuntz.
Kuntz.
Kuntz, Texas.
Yeah, no T's and P's. It's D's and B's. All right.
There you go.
That sounds
Mind
dirty.
Your D's and B's.
D's and B's. That sounds dirty.
A little bit. So we'll continue to roll on. Talk a little about the Astros. Lots more on the agenda. And if you got something you want to offer up, please do. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Them uncomfortables.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Looking to build a...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now, Nick.
I see what you did here.
I see what you did, and I'm inquisitive, and I think inquiring minds want to know. Is there a certain reason it's not a Way Back Wednesday? Would there be any certain reason at all?
Gloating.
Why you would play that song?
Gloating,
right there?
Absolutely not. I'm just feeling like a champion. You got to feel like a champion when you come
into
work.
Champion?
I'm feeling like a champion. That's all.
Okay. Did you win an ostrich race?
Nope.
because that'll make you feel like a champion.
That makes you a champion. Not feel like.
That makes you a champion.
Not feel like.
Until Coco Beware beats you, and then you're second best.
Don't belittle my championships.
Okay.
It's pretty much all I have left. I like when the books come out, though. You know why? Not because of the competition. It's because of all the people that are like, your show sucks. Okay.
We get a lot of that.
We do.
We just get, again, everybody's a critic, and we get the long and the short of it.
Well, good job, fellas.
Yeah.
AJ just brought us the book.
Yep. The ratings are
out. Brought us the ratings for the month, and we did well again, and I'm proud of us.
Congratulations to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN, number one station in sports talk radio in the city of Houston again.
Put that in your blogs.
And spell
hopefully
it
the
right.
ones that can spell.
Yeah, spell it right.
I wanted to see the breakdown of the shows because I, you know, at one point I was like, ooh, did we finish in the top five? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I want to know if we're top three consistently.
Yeah, we are. We're three overall in this book.
Oh, we were third we were highest we were rated not show last, in the city of Houston? What?
We're number four last and number three right. and the one before that. So 3-4-3.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Overall. We were third in February, fourth in March, and now third in April.
And all the way, all four shows are on ESPN 97.
Yes, top four. So we got beat by our own drive time mm-hmm. shows. Well done, fellas. Well done, boys.
Yeah, that's a damn good feeling. Because normally when AJ comes in here, you're like, you're not sure. And I'm like,
I'm just like, he's either going to make fun of a take that I had like he did yesterday.
Yeah.
Or he's going to tell us that we did something wrong or...
So yeah. He was hovering, and then he reached into his folder, and he pulled out, and I didn't even look at it. It had my name on it.
Papers.
So I took it, and I looked up, and I go, good or bad? And he goes, best you've ever had. And I went, okay, then. Nice. Let's just take an in-depth look at this as much time as you want.
Best we've ever had.
That ain't bad, kids.
Yeah. All right.
Kudos
to everybody. Does this mean I can go home?
Sure. You're not going home. I saw Twitter.
Yeah, I'm going to Austin tonight.
Dude.
I got a show tonight in Austin.
You need to bug out.
Is this a last minute deal?
No, it's been booked. I'm getting to go do it with Bryson Brown. I'm pretty pumped about that. I don't get to do Cap City Comedy Club. It's the one club in the state that really doesn't work me at all. Like, they don't F with me at all. Like, they're just like, we don't play with you, loser. So Bryson was like, man, come do my show at Cap City. I was like, oh, for sure.
He's from there?
He is from Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. I'm going to drive out there after the show. I was thinking about that at the break. I was like, maybe AJ could do crosstalk, and I can bone out at 3:41.
Well, I was thinking that's what I just said, and Nick could do it too. I was just saying, if you got to bug out early, that's you want to get out past Beltway.
I want to go to Austin, though.
Who? You do?
Me, yeah.
You want to ride with me?
Yeah, let's row.
Really?
I swear, I would totally go.
All right, well, I'll wait.
All right.
I'll just bring you back here when we're done?
Done. Get hammered in Austin tonight.
No, look.
What?
Can you imagine Nick on the way?
Why would I go with you?
Hit another drive-through.
Be sober.
Wait a second. Yeah, no, I don't need you acting like you act.
No, look.
When
it's not,
you do what you do.
First of all, you've never seen me belligerent ever. When? Look, I see. What?
Really?
I'm trying to remember. Belligerent and drunk. I'm scared or just now.
Bro, you've been belligerent and drunk on this show on air. What are you talking about?
The Christmas party.
Your birthday? You were drunk.
I wasn't belligerent
birthday.
On my birthday.
But you were belligerent.
But
no.
You were drunk?
Okay.
No.
So, there's nothing wrong with that happy drunk. There's nothing wrong with a good drunk.
All I need is to take my own heckler. What kind of dumbass comedian would I be where I'm like, hey, get in the car, get drunk as hell, and then come heckle me, and then we get a ride back together so I can beat your ass the whole way back for heckling me. No. If you told me you would have a beer or a drink, I would let you go. But I know that is not in your vocabulary.
Is it a situation where there's like two shows with one like at like a 7 and one like at 9
no,
or something like
just
that?
Just one show. Starts at 8. I'm out of there by 9:30. I didn't even bring merch. I'm just going, doing the show, coming back.
So you'll be done by what time?
9:30.
And it'll take you what, two
and a
plus?
Half hours.
And then you got to drop Nick off.
He ain't going. I'm not doing that. No.
Nick's going to be at
I'll be at the Casa by midnight.
Nick will be at the corner of the bar. I'm Barry's agent, yeah. So just want to keep those drinks coming. And can I see a menu?
Yeah, that's all I need. The club that will have nothing to do with me, and then Nick is there heckling me, screaming at the other comics and asking for free stuff? No.
I was kind of hoping you'd have like two quick shows. That way I could catch one, drink during that one, and then bounce before I get too embarrassing for the second one. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was thinking. Right. But it's only one show.
It's one show. No. Not going to happen. So.
Well, that's good. So you're going to that's still more driving, though.
It is. But it, you know, it's what you sign up for when you do this.
Sure. So. It's the grind. It's part of the grind.
It is correct.
Speaking of the grind, I'll just throw this out there. TMZ breaking a story that James Harden, after game six, was in Miami at a club with Adrian Broner, letting off some steam.
Oh, that's not a good dude to party
with.
People
said that, and people were losing their mind over it. I mean, there's a couple of things. I was looking for a timestamp on it, and even though the headline and the clickbait is it was after game six, we don't know if it was this weekend. We don't know, you know, what the deal was. Obviously, he doesn't have to make reservations and go through airlines. When he wants to go, he can just get a plane. He can go if he wants. So the bottom line is, you know, everybody's going, well, this was 2 years ago against the Spurs. It was, you know, against the Spurs when they lost. He did the same thing, but he did it here. But guess what? It wasn't here. That was an 8 o'clock game on Friday night. I'm pretty sure they thought they were going to win. So, but if he left like on Saturday, Sunday and decided I need to get out of town, I just need to recharge the batteries. I don't have a problem with that.
I never understood why people expect their athletes to just be distraught after a loss. For a lot of these guys, and I get it. We've heard Barkley talk about the crying thing, right?
Yeah, the Joel Embiid. I mean, I get being distraught after a loss.
But that's, I mean, it's the same thing. Do you think any less of Gronk because he went and partied after losing the Super Bowl? He didn't, not that they got eliminated. They lost the Super Bowl and he was partying.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Like, if we lose a book, are we supposed to cry and not like, oh, we can't?
Well, Nick,
no going out. No going out. If the ratings come out and they suck, your life is over at that point. These dudes have lives outside of sports. Like, the sports is their job. When you have a bad week, when Tammy in accounting has a bad week, is she not going out on Friday to go, you know, get her groove on? No, she's definitely going out. Like,
the only thing that caught my attention was Broner. I'm with you. He wants to party. I don't see what the big deal is, but Broner, that guy is.
If you're not working next week, you're not working the next day, and he goes out. I'd be more pissed if he went out the day of or the night before.
That's what I'm saying, because the way they set the whole thing up was it was like right after game six. I'm like, no, there's no way, because even though Miami, the fun doesn't start till like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., bottom line was 8 o'clock at night was the game, right? Probably started about 8:15, 9:15, 10:15, press and everything else, 11:15. Nick, you were there. Probably gets out about midnight. Then you got to get to the airport. You got to get a plane. It's about a 2.5-3 hour flight. 5 a.m., you lose an hour. 5 a.m. and you're out in Miami. And plus, you got to have the plane, have it ready, do all that stuff. I just don't think it happened that way. And the thing is, see, the only thing I will dispute is, though, the fact that, look, I understand it's their job, but the passion and the winning and the competitiveness and things like that, there's plenty of guys that just, I'll tell you this, the night that Stockton hit the shot to beat the Rockets in the Summit, in the old Summit, Charles was still in his uniform in the small vom at midcourt where the Rockets tunnel was, an hour and a half after the game, just staring out on the court.
But that doesn't mean that everyone has to react like that.
But I'm just saying, I mean, just trying to give a perspective on the fact that, look, a lot of guys care so much, and it's their job, but it's like their life in a lot of ways that they get. But you're right. From a fan perspective, too, you get a lot of people that believe that because they're so passionate about their team that they believe that for every Charles Barkley.
If I have, how much is James Harden worth? What is his net worth?
I mean, now it's, with the Adidas contract and his contract, it's
James Harden net worth $145 million. I would guess it's more than that.
It's got to be more than that because the Adidas contract was monster money, and then his extension hasn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, but according to CelebrityNetWorth.com, James Harden is worth $145 million. If I'm worth $145 million and I don't have to be at work on Sunday, I'm going, like, my season's over.
But there are people that are upset about it in Houston because of the whole bad look, the way they lost, the way, you know. Okay, but here's the thing.
Him sitting home and crying about it isn't going to change it.
Right. I'm with you. But the other
I'm not yelling at you. No, I'm just in general.
But the other thing is, too, that I think listeners and fans need to get is for every Barkley, and I guess in that situation I say Barkley, but for every guy like Dream or guys that, you know, P.J. Tucker, that just, there's a Kelvin Cato. There's a Kelvin Cato, and I've told the story before, when we had to go to Phoenix on the last game of the regular season and get a win, and we were walking to the airport, and I'm not playing, but I'm jacked up. I'm like, this is awesome. We're going to get back to the playoffs. It's a big deal for the franchise. And Cato looked at me shaking his head, and he goes, man, what's the big deal? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, Joel, I don't even love basketball. I just know that it was the best way to make the most money to take care of me and my family, so I play. I just stopped for a second, and I looked at him, and I was like, waiting for him to like laugh or whatever, and he was serious. I was like, oh, man, I just can't fathom that.
Some people, it's a check.
Yeah.
Some people, it's getting money. And speaking of getting money, GetUpside gets you money. If you want free money, you don't want to have to be like James Harden and struggle for it. And well, he ain't struggling. But I'm going to tell you right now, GetUpside is the play. Download it in the App Store. And it doesn't matter what phone you have. If it's Apple or Samsung or Android, it's free to download. And its sole purpose for being is to get you cash back on stuff you're already paying for. You fill up your car, right? You go out to eat at lunch, right? Dude, download GetUpside, start getting cash back to do those things. Make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. You're going to get extra cash back on your first fill up. In fact, my wife used it the first time, and she put in my promo code because we were checking it out and seeing how it worked. She got 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up through the GetUpside app. And you can normally get up to 25 cents a gallon, but she got 30, so that's outstanding. And don't leave money at the pump. I don't want you to do that. There's over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston alone where you can get cash back through the GetUpside app. And these businesses, they want you to come see them. That's why they're partnering up with GetUpside and offering these cash back savings, because they're like, hey, we need a competitive edge. GetUpside offers that. So you pull up a map and you go, okay, I need to fill up before I leave for work. So in your area, it's going to show you all of the gas stations that have a cash back offer. That's the cool thing, is you can decide what offer you want. Now, the trick is some places may charge more for their gas but offer you more for cash back. So you can look at the absolute best value for you and then go and get that cash back in your account. And listeners have been sending me screenshots. Man, I've seen, you know, $5 or $10 in the first week of using it. I've seen guys with over $200 in their account through GetUpside. Guys, you're silly if you're not using this. You're leaving money at the pump. You are leaving money at the table when you eat out. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the books. 90 still on the big board. ESPN 97.5. We know tomorrow's Way Back Wednesday, so we are working on that. Lots of non-sportsy stuff going on in the world today, because really there's not a whole lot of sports. The NBA draft lottery is tonight. People losing their minds.
Not watching that.
ESPN just I don't understand. Could not spread it on thicker.
I don't understand why you would sit down and watch. Like, that's the same thing when people watch the lotto numbers get drawn. There are people that will sit there and watch the little ping pong balls bounce around and then get sucked up into that tube, and then someone will go, 19. And they watch that. Like, just go to the internet when it's over and look at the numbers. That's
don't bang on AR Platinum's people.
No, he's scratching.
The same people that'll watch him scratch lotto tickets.
No, that's scratch offs. That's completely different. But why I'm not, I don't know. I know they're trying to build some drama, and the NBA is trying to, but it's even in the middle of the season, so it's not even about being relative.
Well, it's the lead into the game tonight. So it's the lead into game one, Warriors Blazers.
You know what it's going to be for me? An alert on my phone.
I'm going to tell you something what I like. They changed the lottery for the first time this year so that teams don't tank as much. So normally, like when you had the worst record in the league, you had a 25 point something percent chance of getting the number one pick. They now, the three worst records, doesn't matter who had the worst record or anything like that, all three of the worst records have like a 14% chance.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that, because before, with all the different rules and stipulations, if you didn't get one and you had the worst record, the worst you could get was like three. So there wasn't, they were going to, you knew where they were going to be. Now, like you were saying, if Philly, who owns Sac's pick, only if the Kings get the number one overall pick, the Sixers could end up with Zion Williamson.
Crazy. And then they would have two guys with no jump shot.
It's true.
Yeah, because somebody were like, ooh, could you imagine Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Zion Williamson? And I'm like, yeah, two guys that can't shoot. You got two of the same guy, basically, right? I mean, actually, Ben Simmons is probably a better point guard. But, yeah, you got two guys that have no perimeter game whatsoever. I think I would trade him. I would trade somebody.
You would trade who?
I would trade one of them. You don't need two of the same thing.
You should say that you would trade Ben Simmons, partner.
I just said one of them.
I know, but I'm throwing it out there. Because okay. There is a guy with more credibility that has a stronger resume than anybody that came out with a
interesting trade proposal. I swear to God, if you say Chris Broussard, I'm walking out. If you say Chris Broussard, I'm walking out on this show right now. Who is it?
So what I'm going to do is I'm not even going to say his name. I'm just going to set it up and play the audio for you.
Guard, like everything is created by guards in Houston, Eric Gordon being the other one. They need a front court player they can run pick and roll with Harden who can do more than catch a lob at the rim and dunk it a la Clint Capella. I project this, Colin. Daryl Morey needs to get on the phone and call Philadelphia and offer Chris Paul for Ben Simmons.
Wow. The dumbest.
Okay, time out.
I don't know if they would do it. I don't know if Philly would do it, but Ben Simmons could run the high pick and roll with Harden, and even though he can't shoot, if you pass it to him in a pop, he can create a play for himself or another teammate. That's something they don't have. If you look at the history of the NBA, teams that win championships have typically had a guard and a front court player who could create offense, either for themselves or their teammates. That's what Houston lacks.
Boy, I feel really bad that I made fun of him the other day because that was such a solid, solid take.
Can we just start from the start, first of all?
Because start from the start? Yeah, that's usually a good place to start, is to start from the start.
All right. Can we just start right off the top? The NBA does a little thing with trades where they can't be one-sided. They have to come within 15% one player for the other. If you're trying to move Chris Paul, and we already know how outlandish that salary is, for Ben Simmons on his rookie deal, making about $6 million a year, it ain't happening. It's not possible. It's not going to work, okay? And Philly would be stupid. But then to break down the Rockets' offense, unless they do get rid of Mike D'Antoni, last time I checked, it was layups and threes. So the fact
that... Not layups.
And creating stuff for yourself in the paint... Obviously, most teams that defend the Rockets clog the paint, rush out to the perimeter, and try and force them to be uncomfortable by coming into the mid-range. But the bottom line is, Ben Simmons would make this team monumentally worse in terms of their shooting percentage.
Yeah.
He's scared to death to shoot a jump shot.
It's the dumbest thing. And how are you going to even be so you can tell he's not confident in what he's saying because he's like, they should trade Chris Paul for Ben Simmons. I don't think Philly would do it. Then why are we talking about it? Why did you even bring it up if you don't think it would happen?
You know the thing that bothers me
not
the most?
Not only that, it's asinine because if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong here, Ben Simmons is a point guard.
Yeah.
Why are you, and I realize he's a 6'10 point guard or whatever, however tall he is.
He's about 6'9", 6'8", 9'10".
Okay.
In that range.
He's a tall point guard. He's a Magic Johnson-esque point guard. But you're not running a pick and roll with a point guard and a shooting guard.
Well, you're also comparing him to Clint Capella and acting like Ben Simmons is going to be a post player.
Yeah, that makes
he went from, my favorite part is that he went from, I think Daryl Morey should call.
I doubt Philly would do it, but I project that they should, maybe, and it won't happen. What?
He saved himself, because if he just said, I project, that would have been the headline all over.
Like if one of the bus boys.
Awful announcing.
Genie Buss's brother was the actual GM.
What was his name that was defending this cat the other day and said that we had...
Damian
might call back.
It's your boy.
And say that we don't have the right to talk about this, and he's a respected national writer.
It's your boy with the credentials.
Don't have any credentials.
I would love to have him whatsoever. Justify how that deal would actually work, make sense. Or here's the thing that bothered
here's
me the most
national
about
writer.
It. Colin Cowherd, David. Because Broussard appeared on Colin Cowherd's show. Colin Cowherd, one, he kind of did the wide eye, like, really, what called Daryl Morey should call him. But then he went, yep, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was agreeing with him, and I was like, I don't care if you are, like, point guard on the show or you're trying to, like, you know, just host it and keep it rolling. But when you're going, yep, mm-hmm, it sounds like you agree with him that that's the way the Rockets offense works and that would be a deal that would work. That's stupid.
There's one thing to kind of just let somebody punch themselves out with a dumbass idea. There's another one to roll with it. You and I, well, oftentimes I'll say something ignorant or asinine, and you'll be like, "No, I don't," and vice versa. Like, mm-hmm. if we say something that the other person, you know, might think is dumb, we're gonna call each other mm-hmm. on it, and rightfully so, because I don't want to be lumped in with the dumb stuff you say, right. And you don't want to be lumped in with the dumb stuff I say. So I'm with you. Nick just he says dumb stuff, so we just have to ignore him all the time. Just kidding. We were totally right about the Chris Paul thing. Don't gloat, okay? I don't want to hear it. But I'm with you. You can't just roll with it like that. That's a bad look.
Right? And especially because Colin puts his name on the show.
What
and
a dumb statement.
Supposedly, he's trying to fight the whole mystique that he's like Skip Bayless. Because Skip Bayless is just the troller. They'll right, just say right. things to piss people off. Colin's actually pretty damn intelligent with some of his takes. And a lot of his sports takes.
Is he?
He can be.
See, I don't watch any of those shows.
I don't watch
them
per se.
He's more thought out.
Yes.
He's gonna have an original take. I will say that.
I feel like and maybe I'm not supposed to and I shouldn't, but I just lump all of those national talking heads in together and say that they're the TV version of clickbaits. From Stephen A. to Colin Cowherd to what's the one that does with Shannon Sharp? Skip Bayless. Like, all those cats, to me, they're all just TV clickbait. That's all they just say the most outlandish thing possible to get run. Yeah, so maybe that's not fair to Colin Cowherd, but I just lump them all
together.
I
thought Colin Cowherd, Nick, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought Colin Cowherd was a little different than those guys because he actually, like you said, is thought out, and he'll take a take because he's passionate about it and he feels it, as opposed to Skip, who's just going to say something to get under everybody's skin.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there because that guy knows what he's talking about.
He's a respected national writer,
that's right.
Joel.
That's right.
Put some respect on that.
And you can find him on channel. I don't know. All right. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects. Hour 2, 3-hour show, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number 2, 3-hour show as we push it till 4. Blitz will take you all the way till 7 on the number 1 sports radio station in Houston, Texas. That is sports radio all the time.
You ESPN, almost said it, didn't you?
97.5.
You almost, what on earth got into you?
Because we were talking about all the ratings.
The numbers.
Numbers, and wow. I was regurgitating, and I did. Boy, I almost said
you
it.
You were
I
talking
was almost
and
on
not,
the evil highway.
You were talking
wow.
and not thinking.
Man.
That's hilarious.
Well, that's what they do.
That would have been, boy, I would have walked out on you for sure.
Again? After you almost walked out on the Bruce, and I didn't say Broussard.
Gosh, that would have been
a
crazy.
A lot of people chiming in on this Colin Cowherd thing, just because of the fact that he's polarizing, too. He's not Skip Bayless polarizing, but I think that there's... What you said has a lot of credibility in the fact that there's just too many people out there that instead of talking sports from an educated perspective, I think they just want the trolling, clickbait,
and
reactions.
And again, I'm all for, because we say a lot of crazy. Well, I mean, I say a lot of crazy stuff. You on occasion do, but I'm mm-hmm. I say some crazy. So I'm not above. if it's entertaining or you're having fun. But a lot of these guys nationally, I feel like, just are, like you said, they're trolling. They're just saying they don't believe it. Like, if I say something crazy, it's probably, I still believe it. I firmly believe that the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Houston Rockets were going to beat the Golden State Warriors. Now, that might have been crazy, and that would have been considered an outlandish statement, but I thought that. I mean, based on what I saw in the regular season from those two teams for long stretches, plus the Warriors and all that, I had my reasons for saying something that crazy. I feel like they just say stuff just to say it.
And here's the barometer. You said that, and we had good dialogue and discussion about it on a couple of different occasions.
Well, you guys said I was an idiot.
But after we got by that, but we were able to have good dialogue about it.
Yeah.
When they say something, it's just venom. It's just people either saying they're effing idiots, or there's people going, oh, that's my team. I think they're great, too. You're right. And I was like, you know, there's not that intelligent discussion on taking either side of it and breaking it down. But the other thing that's crazy about this is because of the fact that we just got done talking about ratings. And we know how out of date they are.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that a lot of the way that they calculate numbers for sponsors, the ratings have gone the way of the roadside bathroom. And what they're talking about is nothing but clicks and views and retweets and all these different things. And when they can start measuring that, that's when they start putting in front of agencies and businesses and going, this is why you sponsor our show. Because if we tag your logo on what we just said when we said this about trading Chris Paul for Ben Simmons, we're going to give you over 3 million views in the next 48 hours.
By the way, don't say anything disparaging about the ratings while we're winning. We realize that it's all smoke and mirrors and that it really is not an accurate representation. Right now, we're winning. Okay. So we think that this is a great system and we love it. Mm-hmm. And then once our books are bad, then it's a crap system that needs to be changed. You know how this works.
Yeah, but I was talking about TV for the most part.
Okay,
and because they rope in the social media aspect. It used to be no one even knew what social media was. Then they knew that everybody did it in their spare time to keep in touch with friends and family. But now it's actually a measurable that can make the difference between a company coming on board to sponsor your show or saying, no, that's not for us.
It's crazy.
It really is, but it's true. So with that being said, our good friend Clarence is on hold. Clarence wants to talk about Colin. Clarence, what is going on?
How dare you guys formulate an opinion about Colin Cowherd like that? What gives you the right of credentials? That's some bullshit. I couldn't even keep that up. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
That was your Damien impression?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
you
was
were close
good.
To cussing there, by the way.
Yeah, you almost cursed there.
Yeah. But for all the people who complain about you guys getting on national media, let me give them a big rundown. Way back when, in the early days of this station, it used to be Mike. It used to be Colin Cowherd. Then it used to be the Blitz following everything else. Everyone at this station does a remarkable job, so much so that y'all basically ran out every national radio station that came on this station.
Radio
Between
show, right.
Between John and Lance and Dale, all of you guys. That means y'all did a great job. Now, with all that being said, I do like Colin. He had intelligent takes. And I used to like Skip way back when he was with Woody Page and he used to stop stroking the cowboy so much. Back when he wasn't just clickbaiting, he was actually being informative.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he hooked up with Stephen A., and then there was clickbait. Okay, I'm going to go to Fox and do my own show, and more clickbait. But yeah, guys, it's crazy the way it's changed so much. So, and I'm glad all of you guys are on the station from 7 all the way up to 7 doing y'all thing.
Appreciate it, Clarence.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man.
Yep. You helped make us where we are today, so we appreciate you. Look, here's the thing I would say about all that, too, is the thing is that when you think about selling out, there's different ways to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
Skip got paid a whole lot of money because the show was built around Skip and Stephen A.
Okay.
And then ESPN decided to go their route, And Skip wanted to get paid, and Fox was trying to make a name for themselves, so they gave Skip big money. But then you got to back it up. You got to come and say, you'd come over to Fox and True. Go, I'm bringing my audience, and I'm bringing my sponsors, and I'm going to bring the ratings, and I'm going to do all these things. And when it's not happening, and it's a station, like we said, no one can find, no one really follows or watches like they do SportsCenter and all the ESPN programming, then it's like, well, what do I got to do to get these people
that's
to follow?
That's the catch-22. Like, I think all of us would leave for the money. I mean,
for the right price.
Well, that's not for the money. Yeah. If somebody came offered you, like, we want to do the Joel Blank show on this station for this, I mean, we're going to quadruple your salary and all these things, and like, you're going, I'm going, Nick would go, we would, I think pretty much everyone at the station would say they would go. But you have to realize that part of what comes with that is the burden of carrying that,
the expectation,
the expectation, or that station, and knowing that, okay, you're getting the big boy money, but you better pull in the big boy ratings. So it's a catch 22, because my initial reaction would be, hell yes, show me the money. But then you're like, now you've got to produce. And so you can see why, wait. So if I just say a bunch of outlandish stuff,
right,
that's going to get you what you need, and I can keep making this money.
Yeah.
Then they kind of get into this vicious cycle. So there's something to be said for that, but there's something to be said for being able to do what you want, say what you want, and not have that
pressure.
And have
longevity because of the respect
that
comes with it.
And not have that pressure. Yeah.
Because it's like the Trevor Ariza contract, right? You can sign for 1 year and 15 mil, can't get all that cash, but when you fail miserably, you're done after one.
Yeah.
Or you can go for 3 and 27 and go, man, I'm making good money for the next 3 years.
Guaranteed.
Longevity.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of longevity, we still got an hour to go on the show. So two in the books, one more to go, and 60 minutes on the clock when we return. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.